Hey there. I offer this podcast freely. Your support really makes a difference. To make a donation, visit reneemckenna.com. Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name is Renee LaValle McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person turned therapist and shamanic healer to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to talk about ancestral connection. And we all have ancestors, whether we know them, love them, and are connected with them, or whether they are unknown to us, or we are trying to separate ourselves from our ancestral heritage. Like it or not, we have a long line of human experience standing behind us that reaches back decades, centuries, eons, and actually hundreds of thousands of years. We are a spearhead of a long lineage that is central to the formation of our physical body and also perhaps to our emotions, our psyche, and our spirit as well. And before the advent of modern media, it was not uncommon for people to sit around the evening fire telling stories about the relatives and the clan. And coming out of tribal clan and village culture, who you were related to was incredibly important. And evolving out of that communal or more village structure, we've moved into a phase of evolution where individuation is now our focus. And individuation is the process of becoming an individual, unique and distinguished from everybody else. Individuation is an important part of the process of self-realization. And perhaps the idea of discovering one's life purpose, or even the meaning of this individual life or incarnation. And healthy individuation grows out of being part of a cohesive structure, perhaps having a solid family or culture or belief system, which is like a container that holds a healthy plant. And in individuation, we may find our own beliefs and preferences are different from those that we were raised with, or they might be the same. And coming to the unique gifts and offerings that we bring as an individual as part of our happiness, fulfillment, and continual progress on this life path. And this is a very healthy part of our evolution as humans. We evolve our consciousness. And if you're interested in those larger cycles of consciousness evolution, check out my podcast episode 25 on spiral dynamics. Spiral dynamics is this really comprehensive understanding and model of the psychosocial development of humans. And it's following us forward. There's new developments coming. And just like there's stages of healthy child development, there's stages of healthy human and social development. And in the larger waves of this development tend to alternate between focus on individual development and focus on group development. I've really come to see the world through the lens of spiral dynamics. It's helped me to understand people who have a different worldview than I do in a way that really makes sense from their perspective. It's completely neutralized my perspective on people that have different political views than I do, and religious and social, even personal ideologies as well. I think they should teach spiral dynamics in the schools because it really helps us to grow an understanding of everyone and see that there really is positive progress happening in the human race. We've come a long way. And we can see this ancestral awareness very clearly in the Bible and in the origin of many last names. So in Genesis 10, these are the generations of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood, the sons of Japheth: Gomer, Magog, Madal, Javan, Tubal, Meshesh, and Tiras. And it goes on, naming the ancestors. And so names like Johnson, Madison, Thompson would be the son of John, the son of Madai, the son of Tom. And I imagine who you were related to many times in history determined if you were respected, feared, cast out, or cared for. And I know people who have chosen to change their names. A few have been in religious traditions where their teacher or guru gave them a new name after a conversion experience. And I know people who have intentionally changed their name because the name they were given didn't fit with who they felt like they really were. And so they asked people to start calling them something different, or one friend went through the process of having their name changed legally. And for that particular person, I think the legal name change was a way to separate out from their lineage. And I did some really deep ancestral work in graduate school and studied with this professor who came from the Sami people of Scandinavia, the people who inhabited what used to be known as Lapland in the northern parts of Sweden, Norway, and Finland. And I studied with her over a couple of years, and it was very powerful and healing for me. I was on the cusp of getting married and having my own children, creating the next generation. And as I prepared to become a mother, I really needed to make peace with my really dysfunctional relationship with my own mother. And I have to say, Spiral Dynamics was very helpful in a lot of that because I tend to lean liberal, and my mother is, or was, Tea Party Republican. And coming to understand her worldview, how she could think the way she did, really neutralized a lot of my feelings about the terrible political emails that she would send me all the time in bad cartoons, which I rarely found funny and could have a lot of judgment about. And coming to understanding can remove judgment. And when judgment is removed, we can have a lot more peace. And when we understand that everybody's worldview is part of this larger spiral of evolution, that everybody has a place, we can feel less threatened by opposing ways of thought and belief structure. And so, like pretty much all Americans, we are the children of immigrants, relatively new to this land, and many of us can't track our ancestors back behind our grandparents or great-grandparents. The prosperity of the modern age has allowed us to all live in big houses and believe that we don't need the help of other people. It's interesting to notice that affluence tends to isolate people and disconnect them from others and even the larger system. I have a dear friend in the Sunset District of San Francisco, devout Catholic with 5 children. I lived in the Sunset for 23 years. It's primarily Asian, Irish, and Russian. The sprinkling of lots of other things, of course. It's this huge area that runs down to the Pacific Ocean. It's in fact built on the largest sand dune in North America. 50 blocks of houses built after World War II. And their row houses all connected together. And they were built as affordable housing for the baby boom. But they're little things by today's standard, about 1,100 square feet, 2 bedrooms, a living room, and a kitchen. A big garage area downstairs. And in the 50s and 60s, it wasn't unusual for people to have 4, 6, or 8 children and raise them as people do in many parts of the world, all together in a pretty small space. Many of us are horrified by that idea now, but there's actually something quite lovely about it. And my friend Julie, the mother of the 5 children, also grew up in a family of 5 children, also in a little Sunset house. It's one of the few places I've lived that it's not unusual for people to be born, raised, die, and pass on their house to their children, all at the same address, which is a very traditional way of living, to root deeply in one place. But when Julie was in her early teens, her dad got a better job, they made more money, and they bought a bigger house, the next neighborhood over in Lake Merced. And the kids went from all sharing a little room to everybody got their own room. And Julie said, we never talked to each other anymore after we moved. Everybody just isolated themselves in their own space. And although the home was perhaps more beautiful, Julie really felt the loss of connection with her siblings and her parents. I fly a lot these days. You have to walk through first class, of course. And there's this thing in first class now where people get their own little cubicle completely blocked off from the people around them. You couldn't have a conversation with another passenger if you tried. And I need a lot of solitude. There's a lot to be said for privacy. But this movement of affluence and isolation is not a healthy one from my perspective. And I'll save that discussion for another podcast. And when I lived in San Francisco, I couldn't help but be immersed in the Irish community, many of whom were first-generation immigrants. In fact, I came to San Francisco by way of Ireland. I was on vacation there and met this really young, cute group of guys who was also vacationing there who lived in San Francisco. I was in Boston at the time. They were like, you should come out and hang out with us. And so I did. That's how I hooked up with the father of my children long ago and got the new last name McKenna. My maiden name is Lavallee, or in French, Lavallee. It's people of the valley. Not terribly creative, but very descriptive. And the Mick at the beginning of Kenna also means son of. So way, way back, there was a son of Kenna, and their children's children's children are my children who carry the McKenna name. I get frequently asked if I'm related to Terence McKenna, and I say only transpersonally because I did a lot of psychedelics myself in the day. So McKenna is just my married name. I carry very little Irish blood, according to my 23andMe DNA report, but I did decide to keep the name. And on that trip to Ireland, the ancestral connection was visible as we drove around the countryside. I remember particularly this beautiful emerald green plot of land that had a very cute little cottage on it and kids and dogs playing outside. And next to it, a couple hundred yards away, was the old house. Not very different in shape or size, and the roof was gone and there were no windows or doors. And I have no idea how old it was, but they obviously needed to build a new one and they didn't tear the old one down. And a couple hundred yards next to that was the crumbling shell of the original house. You could see the outline of the stone foundation and the crumbling walls had kind of melted low enough you could step over them. And I'm assuming, as is true in many parts of the world, that the living family on that land were preceded by generations of ancestors who had lived deeply in the same place. And that is an experience I have not had, that deep connection with the land itself, that your mother, your grandmother, your great-great-great-grandmother had lived, drawn water, tilled the soil in this same place, birthed babies, buried loved ones. There's a sense of connection, continuity, and support in that that feels mysterious to me. And I think very few of us have that in America. And I know for me, as I did my own ancestral studies, it really had a profoundly positive impact on my sense of connection with the larger system. And even my felt experience of the hundreds and thousands of ancestors that stand behind me, whose DNA lives in my cells, and perhaps whose experience informs my own consciousness. And we have these amazing tools now, Ancestry.com, where lots of people have really done deep work in tracing back family roots and histories, reclaiming those stories and the begats and the begotten, who birthed who. And because we live in a patriarchal society, it can be harder to trace back the female roots, but it's not impossible. And that's what I was interested in my ancestral work, was my mother's lineage. Because I had such a bad relationship with my own mother, and that had even kind of overshadowed my whole perspective on being female. And I wanted to really heal and mature that so that I could embrace motherhood and this pull to become much more an embodied feminine person in a healthy and positive way. And so I started by gathering stories from living relatives about the relatives that I didn't know anything about. I found out that my great-grandmother was a very serious alcoholic and was dying of probably cirrhosis of the liver. And my great-grandfather discovered Christian Science, which is a faith-healing religion, and she had a miraculous recovery. And that's how Christian Science got introduced to my mother's side of the family. And the story was unclear, but there was the idea that her mother, my great-great-grandmother, had committed suicide by eating lye, which is like drinking acid, and I can't even imagine how horrible that is. And I was able to trace back through birth records and death records and find my great-great-great-grandmother, who was a pioneer in Missouri. And she had a bunch of kids, and it looked like she took care of the whole family. That her brother came to live with her, and he had children, and her husband died, and she married another guy and had more children. And it looked like she started some kind of business to support everybody. And these are all little pieces and snippets from other people's offerings into Ancestry.com. It's pretty amazing if you ever want to look at it. Search your family name. Find your parents and their parents and their parents' parents. And you can just keep going back. It's pretty cool. And I was able to trace back to my first ancestor through my mother's lineage. Her last name was Huckel. And we always thought it was German. But through this work, it looks like it was probably Welsh. And something interesting about that, I spent a little bit of time in Wales, and I absolutely loved it. A little town called Conwy, a whole village surrounded by an ancient stone wall that you could walk on. And I felt really connected to the land there. And that was one of the things that we talked about in my ancestral studies, was this connection with the earth that may live in our consciousness without our knowing. And we all have ecosystems and environments that we're drawn to. I help people work a lot with nature spirits and the elements and connecting with earth and water, rock and sand. It's interesting what different people are drawn to. I feel like the forest, the ocean, rolling hills, and if there may be some ancestral connection with ancient lands that's passed down into our psyche without our knowing. And so that John Huckel sailed into Jamestown in the United States as a servant boy on a cargo ship in 1633. And ultimately, his children made their way to eastern Ohio, and their children's children made their way to Missouri, which is where my mother grew up. And so I encourage you to consider your ancestors, whether you love them or hate them, want to separate yourself or follow in their footsteps. Particularly at this time of year, late October, early November, when the veil between the worlds is very thin. Halloween, Dia de los Muertos, All Souls and All Saints Day. And we tend to have a cultural awareness of the mysteries of death, what happens to those who have passed before us, and perhaps what they might have to offer and inform us in our lives today. Thank you so much for listening. I'm doing a workshop on ancestral healing Saturday, November 18th, 2023, from 12 to 4 Eastern, 9 to 1 Pacific. I invite you to join me as we explore ancestral ways of knowing, intergenerational trauma, how to heal, how to separate, and how to connect in healthy ways with those who have gone before us. There's a link in the show notes to sign up. It's developing into a really wonderful group. It'll be a lot of interaction. I can personally guide you through this very rich and fascinating perspective on ourselves and our family lines. And because a lot of this work will be with our inner ways of knowing rather than practical information, people who are adopted or have been otherwise separated from their biological family are really encouraged to come. Again, the veil between the worlds is thin, and we have access to much more information than we may be consciously aware of. So please join me for Ancestral Healing, Saturday, November 18th. Can't wait to meet some of you in person, or virtually in person anyway. And I have more workshops to come. My goal is to be doing one interactive workshop a month. I'm working up the calendar and schedule for that right now. I'll keep you posted. You can check that out on my website, ReneeMcKenna.com. If you'd like to work on your own intergenerational trauma or see how a block of spiritual psychology work might benefit you in your life, shoot me an email, info@ReneeMcKenna.com. We'll set up a free discovery call. Also, be sure to check me out on YouTube, doing really interesting and informative discussions with all kinds of practitioners in the body, mind, spirit, energy world. New videos coming out every week on my Spiritual Psychology YouTube channel. Thanks, as always, to my supporters on Patreon and through this podcast. Blessings on your path until we meet again. This is Renee LaValle McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.